Class and sermon and message on 2 Corinthians from the Greek text. I'm teaching Greek reading and research by induction, so that's a lot less painful way to learn Greek. And of course, the Bible in the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, the New Testament is written in Greek. Now, when I said the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, I actually meant that it's mainly written in Hebrew because there are some places where it's written in Chaldee. We're studying the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. I'd like to go back and read my introduction because it's been a while. 2 Corinthians was written about AD 57 through 60, probably written from Philippi. Paul wrote this to further correct this church from her errors. He also used a great deal of this book to defend his ministry, because if they did not believe who he was, then they would not take this letter of any weight at all. More of Paul's personal life is brought out in this book than in any other place in the New Testament, because it was necessary for him to defend himself so that this church would take seriously his admonition. Titus was sent back to Corinth with this epistle to further clear up the divisions in this church. There were possibly four letters written to the Corinthian church by the Apostle Paul that are alluded to in 1 Corinthians, which we have, plus the alluded to in 1 Corinthians 5 and 9. There's other letters to the Corinthian church alluded to in 1 Corinthians 5 and 9 and 2 Corinthians 2 and 3. Now let's start with fragile vessels. Fragile vessels. God's people are fragile. It talks about it, clay pots, earthen vessels. And this is what we're going to talk about, the fragility of the human man, of humankind. We're fragile. We can be stopped by a cold, by the flu, cancer, a rattlesnake bite. One of my neighbors down here's dog was bitten by a rattlesnake today. I hope she makes it. I killed a very large scorpion yesterday that came after me. I flipped up a piece of indoor-outdoor carpet, like AstroTurf, and out come this gigantic 5.5-inch scorpion loaded with venom right at me. I hit him with a rock, and he just kept coming. And then I squashed him the second time, and he just exploded all over. If that scorpion had stung me, I don't know whether I would have lived or not. I'm way out here, 69 miles from a hospital, and probably 65 in another direction. Major hospitals are way off. Man's heart or woman's heart can stop beating and they're dead and into eternity in a few minutes. We're earthen vessels. We're fragile vessels of God. Fragile vessels. We can be tempted by all of the desires of this world, and we can be knocked off track in so many ways with temptations. These are all the things that make man fragile. The Lord says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want to tell you something. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. All of those people were fragile vessels of God. Islam has killed over 170 million Christians that are fragile vessels. What we do in this world, we do through a very fragile frame. When people are young, so many times they think that they're old. Oh, look how buff I am. I can run 26 miles. I can climb a mountain. I can do anything. I can swim 100 laps in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. I can go out and cut wood and 5 or 7 cords of wood in a day. And I've done that. I won't do that today. I'm a fragile vessel today. I am tempted by all the temptations that everyone is tempted in with in the world. My health is not very good, even though I ignore it. I've had cancer for 16 years. And the radiation and chemotherapy did great harm to me. I have not allowed them to treat me. But I am a fragile vessel, and I just keep making this vessel get up. But it's not me that does it. It's Jesus in me that does it. Mm-hmm. My love for God is what it is, because what Jesus did for me. I can never pay him back for what he's done for me. I look back in my life and I see a wonderful hand of God on me all of my life. From the time I was born, time I was saved, when my grandmother was killed, it was my basically the mother that raised me. I lived most of the time of my life with an outlaw stepfather, Dale Otto Remling. Look him up. He's famous scoundrels, they called him. The man taught me a lot of good things. He introduced me to Fish Lake Valley, where I am today. I fell in love with this valley in 1953 through 1960, when I was very young. 61, 62, 63. All of those years were formative years in my life. And I fell in love with this country. When my grandmother got killed, I began to fall in love with God. I was saved about 1961. Right after she was killed, I went to a little Pentecostal church. I had been reading the Bible. The preaching there did not convict me of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. It was not preaching the gospel, even though I loved those people greatly. Great, great people. But they didn't preach the word. I read the word. And the Word of God convicted me that I needed to be saved. My ex-stepmother, grandmother, came down and led me to the Lord, Mrs. Brown. By the grace of God, I've done what I've done only. It is not me. It is God in me. I am nothing. He is everything. 4 and 1. A treasure in fragile vessels. We're talking about fragile vessels, the fragile vessels of God. God chose us as fragile vessels. And if we do anything for God at all, it is God working through us. And praise be to God what he does through us. Dia tuto. Ekontes, tain diakonion, tautain, kathos, ele thei, men, uk eg kakomen. Diatuto, because of this, or therefore, having, ekontes. That's a little nominative plural masculine present participle active. Having, because of this, having the ministry, the diakonia. That means to stir up dust. It means to get with it. It means to work. I have an administration. I have a service to do. My own, and I hate to say a lot about myself, but I see God working. My stepfather, the one that raised me, was an atheist. And I told him one time he was in prison for something. I think it was time that he was in prison for false charges. He broke out of the Jackson, Michigan prison in 1975 with a helicopter. He wanted a lawyer to prove he was innocent. But he hijacked an air vehicle, a helicopter. Well, he went to prison for that. He got off of the other charges, but he was in trouble. Well, that's the man that raised me. I sent him a letter while he was in that Jackson prison. And I said, Dad, I think God wants me to preach for him. I think he wants me to preach his word. My dad wrote back a letter to me, and he said, well, you better learn Greek and Hebrew, son, because the Bible wasn't written in English. And it wasn't. So I began my ministry of studying Greek and Hebrew, and that's what it's been ever since. It's because of that atheist that told me that. And I'm preaching from Greek today because of that atheist. I believe the man was saved before he died. I did his funeral in 1999, July. The Lord knows whether he's with him or not. God used him greatly in raising me. Dale said one thing in his life, I only did one good thing. I raised Jimmy. That isn't a whole lot. I'm not a whole lot, but that's what he says, I am valuable to the human race. No matter what all the bad things I did, I raised that boy. And he's been an asset wherever he goes to the people where he lives. Well, I hope I have. I've never tried to do anybody wrong. I've always tried to live in a way that would try to honor God in the best way I could. I've done a lot of foolish things in my life. But God has kept me on the pathway, even though it wiggled. Having the ministry, the service, this, just as we have obtained, we have been called to obtain mercy. The Bible, in the Old Testament, there is a term there. It talks about God, the Jehovah title. One of the Jehovah title is the man of loving kindness. The man of loving kindness. Because Jesus is the man of loving kindness. Now, he's going to be the judge, too. Mm-hmm. He shall judge us for everything that we shall do for him, whether it was for him or for ourselves. Just as we have been called to obtain mercy, not we faint. Not we pass out. Not we fall out. Not we fall out in a way and into evil. 4 and verse 2. Alla ape pa metha ta krypta tais eis skines me peri pa tuntes in panurgia Mede, deluntes, ton logon, tu theu, alla, te, phanerose, tes, ala, aletheos, sin histon nontes, hiatus, pros passon, sin e deson, or desin, anthropon, enopion, tu theu. Let's go back and look at these words in English. But we have, for ourselves, by the way, we have renounced. We have renounced. We are unpersuaded, is what it says. We are no longer persuaded by the things of this world. We are no longer persuaded by the former things of our ungodly, hellish, Adamic life. We have renounced for ourselves. We are no longer persuaded by them. That's first person plural, second aorist. That's a little linear. It's punctiliary, but a little bit linear. It's indicative mode, which is a statement of fact, and it's middle voice, which means that we're doing it because of the unction of God in us for ourselves. God does not want you. He doesn't want to keep you from any good thing in this world. If we succumb to the lust of our flesh, the pride of life, the greed that we have, and the ability to attain and obtain, if we succumb to those things, those are the things that make the world tick, aren't they? What do you see in the movies? What do you see in television? Somebody taking somebody else's wife. Somebody stealing somebody's money, and yay! Mm-hmm. They did it real craftily, and so great is their amassing of wealth and the deceit of other people. These are the things that the world longs after. We have renounced for ourselves the things hidden, cryptic. This is where we get the word crypt. We put people's bodies in crypts where they're hidden away because their bodies are dissolving and stinking and dissolving, so to speak. The hidden things of shame. The shameful things. Aiskines. The shameful things. What are shameful things? Shameful things. Shameful thoughts. Shameful. The way wives treat husbands. Shameful the way children treat their parents. The shameful things the way children do their, the parents do their children. The shameful way that husbands treat their wives. The shameful ways that God's people treat God's churches. Shameful ways. The hidden things of shame. And it says not, this is where it's peripatontes, that is nominative plural masculine, present participle active. It says spreading yourself around. It comes from peri and patio, and it means to walk around. Not spreading ourselves around, not spending our lives, not spending all of our energies in craftiness. When I was a, what you might call in management of one company that I worked for, they told me to become crafty. Panurgia. That means how to gather. It means to grab everything inside. It means to get all the money. And what they wanted me to do, I was over a pump shop and a truck shop and over all of the repairs in a hydraulic company. And people trusted me. If I said them, told them something, I tried my best to get it done exactly like I said, exactly when I said I would do it. But they told me to lie to those people, get in there, tear their equipment down so they couldn't take it someplace else, and then we'd fix it when we get time and when we get the parts. People would come to me from different companies, oil companies, farming companies and everything. They said, we need this tomorrow. I looked at it and I said, I cannot get it for you tomorrow. Neither can anybody else get it for you tomorrow. We cannot get the parts for this piece of equipment. I have to order them. Or we have to make them. I said, it's going to be 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 days or 2 weeks from now, and that's the best I can do, and I'm telling you the truth. Now, you can take that to somebody else, but they're going to lie to you too. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you it's going to take this many days to go, even though you need it tomorrow. I can't do anything about it. Well, they look at me and they say, I know you're telling me the truth. Keep it. Fix it. Get it done as quick as you can. And they get mad at me. But you know what? They wouldn't take their equipment anyplace else. Because they knew what I said to them was true. When I quit that company, when I got hurt, I quit that company. I've been there. I was hurt and worked there 2 or 3 years, but they put some, they tried to squeeze me out. They did me wrong. I turned around, I said, you make me manager of this company and turn your back and leave. And I said, when you get back, it'll be straightened out. Because there were problems. They did not. They begged me to go back. The people left. They didn't have anybody there they could trust. They couldn't believe in them. People, when you're out there working in this world, you got to be able to trust somebody and believe what people say. Yeah. They can deceive you once or twice, and then you're in trouble. The old story is, you deceive me the first time, shame on me. You won't deceive, shame on you. If you deceive me again, it's shame on me. I tried to be upfront with all of them in every way, and we made a lot of money. I almost gave things away if I could afford to. For the purpose of knowing that, letting them know that we weren't out there trying to make $1 million on one job. And they loved it. Not in shame walking about in panurgia. This means to use everything you could do to get money, to get wealth, to get power. Neither mayday, neither dulontes, neither adultering, adultery. You know what adultery is? What is adultery? What is adultery? What is adultery? That means when a woman runs around on her husband, or a husband runs around on her wife, committing adultery with somebody else than what who they're married to. That's what adultery is. But that's not what it's talking about here. Marilyn is not talking about adultery. It means adultering. It's nominee plural masculine, present participle act, adulterating the word of God. Let's do not adulterate the word of God. God's word is holy. It is precious. Not adulterating it. Don't mix it with the things of this world. Don't make the church look like the world. Make a church look like what it's supposed to look like. I'm not talking about a building either. Most of our churches today, most of the large churches today are entertainment centers. Entertainment centers. What we need is Bible preaching churches. Not adulterating the word. Not washing it down, watering it down. Hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. You're going to go one of those two places. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to go to hell. You won't go to hell because of your sin. Adultery won't put you in hell. Stealing won't put you in hell. Murder won't put you in hell. The only thing that will put you in hell is rejecting Jesus Christ. Now, if you did all of these other things, you will be punished in hell because you did them. The worse you are, the worse place you're going to be in hell. More tolerable for some in hell than others. Adulterating the word of God. Belonging to God is not our word. This isn't my Bible. It's God's Bible. And then we have the word Allah here. That's a strong adversity conjunction. Page 15 is where you find it in Davidson's Analytical Greek Lexicon. But, and that's strong, adversity conjunction. But, in the manifestation. This word here is phanorese, in manifestation, in the locative thing, in the manifestation, in the light. Walking in the light. Remember the song, Walking in the Light? Mm-hmm. In the manifestation of the truth, aletheia, and aletheia there means no shadows, no dark places. There is no darkness in it. I am an ungodly sinner. I can tell you that right straight out. I am an ungodly sinner. I am saved by the grace of God only. That's it. Saved by the grace of God. But one thing I try to do in my life is preach the word of God straight and directly, and I make no apologies for it. Marilyn always tells me you need to wear a bulletproof vest when you preach. You make all those heresies out there in the world mad at you. Islam, Catholicism, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't mean to make them mad at me. I'd like to see the people get saved and go to heaven instead of going to hell. They're going to hell without Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'd like to see everybody go to heaven. I just tell the truth. And now this word here is sinistanuntes. Sinistanuntes. That is nominee plural masculine, present participle active. This word here means standing together ourselves, commending ourselves, standing together ourselves toward every conscience. That word there, sinedason, that means to see in well-inspected light. Every conscience of mankind, down in the presence of enopion, down in the presence of God, right down in the direct eyesight of God. Now, whether you know it or not, everything that you do, every secret sin that I have, every secret sin that you have, every ungodly thought, every ungodly act that we do, God sees them all. Mm-hmm. Everything. It ought to make us ashamed in ourselves. We may never work these things out, and they never become a fact, but we may think them, may feel them. God knows every one of them. He knows the thoughts of every man, doesn't he? And every woman and every child. Mm-hmm. Every dog and every cat.
Everything.
Ade kai esten. 4 and verse 3. Ade kai esten kekalum Menon, to euangelion, himon en tois apolimena, naois, apolimenois, esten, kaka limenon. Now, we start off with the weak adversity conjunctive particle, page 85 in that lexicon. That's day. Now, it says a day, but forget the a at first, because we go, moreover, since. That word there is first slash conditional particle, condition determined as fulfilled. It's not an if in English, but it is since. But since, indeed, it is having been hidden. Having been hidden, that's nominative singular, neuter, perfect participle passive, having been hidden, the gospel of us. In the ones perishing. Apolimi. The ones perishing. It is having been hidden. The gospel is hidden to the ones perishing. There's a lot of Muslims praying right now someplace in the world. They're praying in Arabic and they're reciting the Quran. And it's not getting to God at all. It's not getting to Allah because Allah doesn't exist. Not getting anywhere. Catholics are praying to Mary. It's not getting any place. Jehovah's Witnesses are worshiping God the Father, doing away with God the Son. That's a problem. Because you can't come to God the Father except through the Son. And they say Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. He is not Jehovah of the Old Testament. We see all of these things. And Mormonism. God the Father is just a little bit ahead of us because, you know, if you're a Mormon, you're a God, an embryo, and you will resurrect your wife if you liked her. And you will have a world of your own one of these days. That's not the gospel. There are many good Jehovah's Witnesses. I love them. I've loved people that are Jehovah's Witnesses. I know Mormons that I love very much in the deep depths of my heart. Muslims. I've known quite a few Muslims. I love them, but I hate their doctrines. The doctrine is blasphemy of God. It says, but if since indeed it is having been hidden, the gospel of us, our gospel. It is not their gospel, is it? It was God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel means the good news of the coming of Jehovah, the incarnation in flesh, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He died for our sins, was raised for our justification. The gospel of us in the ones perishing. In the ones perishing, it is having been hidden. Having been hidden. Perfect participle passive. Nominative singular neuter. Each one that rejects Jesus Christ, the gospel is hidden from them. They don't want it. There's only one gospel in the world. There's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. 4 and verse 4. In hois, hothios, tu ionos, tuto, in tu flosin, ta nomata, noimata, ton apiston, eis to me, I gase, ton photismon, tu euangeliu, tais doxos, tu Christu, hos esten icon tu theou. This is quite a verse right here. We're going to have to use other Bible passages to go along with this. Mm-hmm. It's not the only place God said this in His Word. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible is inspired of God, is it not? Each and every individual that was ever a writer of God's Word put in his own words what God exactly wanted to say. Whether it was Jonah, about Jonah, or what his gospel was when he went to Nineveh. Whether it was Zechariah, Isaiah, David. David was quite inspired one day. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. These are inspired words, and they're written from that poet, musician, the greatest musician ever known in the world. It's not Elvis Presley. It's David. It is not the greatest singer, Caruso, or the three tenors. It is David, the greatest songwriter and singer of all time. He was inspired of God. Inspired. Other people have gifts of God that they train the voices. People have wonderful voices and they learn to train those voices and they can sing beautiful music. But David's voice was inspired of God and the words were inspired. Now we go to a very sad verse, 4 and 4. En hois hothios tu ionos tuto. In tu phalesen ta noimata ton apiston eis to me aigaise ton photismon tu euangeliu teis doxas tu Christu hos esten icon tu theu. We read this a while ago. Let's look at it. Each word. In whoms? Who are these people that were blinded from the gospel? Who are the people blinded from the gospel? The ones that are not persuaded. The ones that are not persuaded. In whom's the God of this age? Who's the God of this age? He's old Lucifer, isn't he? Satanos. Satan, the God of this age. This, he blinded. He has blinded the thoughts. Look at that word. That word there, noemata, that means the very thinking power. The very thinking, the minds. He has blinded your minds. He has blinded the minds belonging to the ones not believing. Unto the not to shine. Look at that word there, not to shine. The ability to shine. Aikase. First aorist, infinitive, active. The enlightenment, the photismon. Photismon, that means we got a word photograph from that. We got a word photo from that. We got a word phos, light. Phosphorus, all that comes from this word in Greek right here. The enlightenment, the light of the gospel. The gospel is the light of God. Of the glory belonging to Christ. Who? He is the icon to Theo. He is the pressed out image of the eternal invisible God. You'll never see God the Father. You'll never see the Holy Spirit. But you will see God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Christ. And I'm not a oneness either. God wasn't the Father in the Old Testament. And God isn't the Son during the Christ ministry. And then God is the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the triune God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our one is Ahad, one. One God. One gospel. Jesus Christ is the pressed out image of the invisible God. Go to John, the first chapter. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. N-R-K, ain ho logos, kai ho logos, and pearl stone theon, kai ho logos, and theos. That's what it says in Greek. Okay? In the beginning. It says, in beginning. We can put the in there. We can put N-H-R-K if we want to. But it says N-R-K, period. In Greek, there is no indefinite article, so we can put a definite article on it. In the very beginning, this is locative singular feminine first declension word, R-K. In the beginning, kept on being the whole logos. Now, the whole logos that John is writing about, this is John's writing. Now, God is using John, a Hebrew, to tell us the gospel of Jesus Christ and who the God of the Old Testament was. And the God of the Old Testament is Ha-Dabar or Hashem. Got to get a little blackboard up here. Ha-Dabar means the word. Now when John wrote this gospel to John, he was writing in Greek. But he had a Hebrew mind. This is what we call a Hebraism. A Hebraism. This Hebraism, he's taking from the Hebrew language and the Hebrew thought and the Hebrew customs and culture. When they come to the word Jehovah, after Exodus 20 and verse 7, It says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, for he shall not allow you to get away from it, away with it. You're going to be paid for it. So they would never speak his name again. So they say, Hathavar. So now when John writes this gospel, he says here, in beginning, in the absolute beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. Talking about Jehovah here. And the Jehovah kept on being toward the God. He kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because the Word or the God was the Word. And that's a predicate nominative there. God and the Word are one and the same, dunder, gender, and case. Ho Logos and Ho Theos are the same person. That word ain there, third person singular, imperfect, and different, exacting, that word ain is an equal sign. Equal in mathematics. Equal. One equals one. One equals pi. One equals gamma. One equals epsilon. Whatever you use there as an equivalent, one is that number. Number, gender, case. That is, he is not a God, he is the God. In verse 2, it said he was in the beginning with God. He kept on being in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that came into being. In him was life, and the life was the light, photismos, the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, but the darkness will not attach to it. It will not have it. The darkness will not have it. Now let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1. I know I got that in my Bible. Colossians chapter 1. Starting with verse number 12. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he's telling the church at Colossae that Jesus is indeed Jehovah of the Old Testament, that Jesus is the God that created the heaven and the earth, that Jesus is the person of God in flesh. I should have gone to John 1:14. It says, Kai Logos starts again, and that means, and the word fleshy became and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory, the old glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time, but the invisible God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out of eternity into space and time. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. And we, as fragile vessels, preach God's powerful word. It is not us. It is him. Verse number 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Again, false in light. He has delivered us. He has snatched us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And he is the icon, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. What it actually says there, not firstborn, it means the head of all creation. He's the head, the RK, the head of all creation. For in him all things were created, both in the heavens and upon the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rules or authorities, all things have been created through him, by him, and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, are held together. He's the glue that holds all things together. He is the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead ones, so that he himself might come to have the first place in everything. For it was the God's, the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in him. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. I talked about dirty blood the last time. Our blood cannot save anybody. We can give our lives for a man, do whatever we want to in this world, but our blood is dirty. Jesus Christ's blood was holy. The blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. That's what it said here in 2 Corinthians. Same writer. Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body Jesus' fleshly body through death in order that to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Beyond reproach. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah,
what a gospel. The gospel of God is different than all the other gospels in any other religion. The gospel of God is that God came down and died for you that you might have eternal life. You don't have to die for him. You don't have to die for your sin. Jesus Christ died for your sins. If you don't believe in him, you will suffer for your sins in hell. Mm-hmm. You won't go to hell because of sin. You will go to hell because of rejecting Jesus Christ. Ugar hiatus, 4 and verse 5. Carousomen, alla eison, Christon, Kurion, hiatus, de, doulos, himon, dia, usum. For not ourselves we preach, but Jesus Christ, Lord, Jesus Christ, Savior, Jesus Christ, Jehovah, ourselves, but ourselves, we have become your bond servants. We have become your slaves, bought and paid for through Jesus Christ. I preach the gospel. I preached the gospel for more than 20 years in my life without any recompense for it at all. I put those websites out there and I supported all them, and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on Jesus because I did it because I love the Lord. Mm-hmm. I used to listen and watch Gene Scott on the C1 satellite here when I lived in Fish Lake Valley. And that man had 24 hours a day broadcasting his show. Some of it was foolishness, complete foolishness. Sometimes he preached. And I said to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if someday that there was some way that we could preach the word out there that is the gospel without baloney whatsoever at all, that they would hear God's word and people would get saved and built up in it, and here come along, discovertheword.com. And it's being done by the grace of God. The devil has tried to stop that in more ways than I can ever tell you. In more ways than I can ever tell you. We've tried to keep it up. I spent tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, to get the gospel to the world. Not for looking for anything back. But I know when one of those sermons goes out there, when this message goes out there this night, that the God of this heaven will be glorified in his word. This is Jesus died for our sins, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Charles Taze Russell, not Mary Baker Eddy, not Ellen White. Jesus died for our sins. He is our Savior. If we will believe, if we will look to him, if you won't look to Jesus as the God of heaven, as your Savior, then he is your enemy. And God don't love everybody. Jesus Christ died for everyone, but God doesn't love everybody. Some are his enemies. If you are saved today, one time you were his enemy. While we're enemies, Christ died for us that we might have eternal life. But if you don't look to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are an enemy of God. If you try to replace him with something else, some icon, some idol, some Buddha, some Mary and Jesus, Madonna and child, something in this world besides Jesus Christ. There is no other way under heaven and earth where a man might be reconciled to God except through Jesus Christ. No man may come to the Son except through the Father. No man may come to the Father except through the Son. This is fact. This is truth. This is the gospel. For not ourselves we preach, but Jesus Christ, Lord, Master, ourselves slaves through Jesus. Now let's go to verse number 6 and we'll cut there for this evening. Hote ho theos. Ho apon ek skotus phos. Lamse hos ilamsen en tais karyas emon pros fotismon tais gnosios Tais doxos tu theou in prosopon Christou. Vessels. Fragile vessels that we are. Fragile vessels. Pray for me. You out there. I need your prayers. We need your prayers to keep the website up. Everything in the world has tried to stop it. We've been threatened. We've been robbed. We had to move the website 2 or 3 times. We had to do everything under the sun to keep this where you can preach, or hear the preaching, that is. It's not only me that are out there. Some of my teachers are out there that I thought very worthy that for you to hear their words. Pray for us that we'll keep it up. Pray for when I leave this world that someone will take that task. And if you can help and support us, do it. Support us. It'll go to the preaching of the word. Because the God, the one saying, out of darkness, light, it shines. Who? He shines in the hearts of us toward enlightenment of the knowledge of the glory of the God in the face of Christ. As Moses' face shone with the glory of God, he put a veil over it. Jesus' face shone with the very person of God, the very prosopon to theou, the very person of God. When you see Jesus, you see God. When you see Jesus, you see God. Verse number 7 is where we, I said 6, but 7 is where we're going to quit. And we're going to start next week, next sermon also. Ekomonde ton theirason, tuto en eis trakinois. Skuousen, hina he hyperbole, teis dynamios, e tu theou, kai me ex himo. And we have a treasury. We have a treasury. There is a theosaurus. You know what a theosaurus is? That is a treasury of words, an encyclopedia of words, what we call a dictionary of words, a theosaurus, a treasury of words. And the treasury this is, in clay pots, vessels, clay fragile vessels, clay breaks easily. I brought up Maryland's fountain, and I was unloading it, and it's made out of concrete like clay, and it broke, and we have to fix it. It'll never be the same. We are those fragile pots. You might need the help of God to carry out your ministry tonight. I do, every day. Ask God to help you as a fragile vessel, a fragile vessel. There is nothing in you that you can say, I'm a man of God, I'm a woman of God. You are nothing. It's Christ in you. Mm-hmm. We are fragile vessels. And the treasury of this is, the fragile vessels, the clay pots, vessels in order that the excellence, the above and beyond any reality, the expectation, exaggerated power. Hyperbole. This is the word, hyperbole. This is the word. Hyperbole is a figure of speech, which means an exaggeration. And in our lives, we see exaggerate the power of God. We see exaggerated the power of God. What you do for Christ is Christ. The power. May it become of the God and not out of us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. These 7 verses that we have read from 2 Corinthians and the verses we read from John and Colossians. Father, I pray that they go out and touch hearts. Somebody might be religious out there, Father, that don't know you. They might be religious and they do not know you as their Savior. I've had so many people come to me. I had a little girl named Rosie one time. Her father was a preacher. Wonderful girl. I remember her. I remember her voice. And she came to me and she listened to me preach. And she came up and asked words and she asked me, Brother Jim, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. And I asked her, did you repent and ask the Lord to save your soul in your life? And she said, no. Father, I pray if there's one like her out there, that you will save their souls tonight, that they will lay their religion aside, that they will ask you to save them and forgive them of their sins, and ask that you to make them these fragile vessels.